with a piece from Rav Yerucham Olshin, Shlita. Rav Yerucham Olshin, Shlita, is one of the Rashi Yeshiva in Lakewood, in Beis Medrash Kavala. They started putting out a Svarim in recent years called the Yireach LaMo'adim. This Chanukah volume is divided into 20 topics in Halacha and 36 essays in Machshava. Why 36 essays? So there's 36 candles. And people like to do that kind of thing. So I'm sure he picked 36 essays because we light 36 candles over the course of Chanukah. But we'll work on Maimer Gimel. And then, if everyone's not burnt out after doing this piece, I have a piece that's related to this, B'derach Remez, that we can look at. Okay, but let's start with this. A very important, very, very basic Yesodos in Chanukah. Okay, Os Aleph. We'll start by the Aleph. Isa v'Gemara, the Gemara tells us, V'heicha manachle, and where should the menorah be placed? Rav Acha b'rei d'Rava Amar miyamin. Rav Shmuel midifti Amar mismal. One opinion says the menorah should be placed on the right. One opinion says the menorah should be placed on the left. V'hilchasa, and the Gemara tells us, the halach in fact is mismal. What would be the svara, what would be the logic to say put the menorah on the right?
Everything
right. Yeah, so we could say we always favor the right in Judaism. Also, we have a concept that sometimes when you have a mitzvah, we try to further enhance that mitzvah. So if I already have the mezuzah on the right, you could say that let's further enhance the right-hand side by adding a menorah to the right. The other svara, the other logical argument is to say the opposite. I already have mezuzah on the right, so let's make sure we balance it out on the left. Okay, that's a discussion. But the halacha is clear. V'hilchasam yismol. The halacha is clear that the menorah is placed on the left-hand side. Kidei, shetehei, ner chanukah mismol, mezuzah miyamin. In order to be balanced, mezuzah on the right side, and the menorah is on the left side. I have to say the vart that I like to say every year. I have to say it. I cannot say it. Why is the menorah opposite the mezuzah? Right? The menorah is placed connected to the mezuzah. The Gemara had a havamina, maybe put the menorah on the same side as the mezuzah. The Gemara's conclusion is place the menorah opposite the mezuzah. So I always like to say, it's an idea I thought of a bunch of years ago, that what's the message of the mezuzah? Why is the mezuzah placed on a slant? Because the mezuzah represents compromise. Right? We know there's a machlokas. Should the mezuzah be placed in a vertical position or a horizontal position? Strangely enough, we put the mezuzah on a slant, right? Which is a compromise of those two positions, which is unusual in halacha to have such a thing, right? Machlokas, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, so we do something in the middle. Very strange. So the Sfarim explained the reason that the mezuzah is on a slant to represent compromise is when you enter into a home, you have to understand there's a lot of different opinions in the house, and we have to learn to compromise. Right? That the siblings should get along, that the parents and the children should get along, and that everyone should, that there should be shalom in the bias. There should be a compromise. So I always thought to say that the menorah is on the opposite side of the mezuzah. Because if the mezuzah is the symbol of compromise, the menorah is the symbol of what? It's connected to the mezuzah. It's the symbol of what? Of no compromise. When the Greeks wanted us to compromise our values, the menorah represents that sometimes, the mezuzah says sometimes we compromise. We have to learn how to navigate different opinions. Right? But the menorah says, I'm the opposite of the mezuzah. Sometimes a Jew has to stand his ground and say, no compromise. I have to stick to my values, even if it's uncomfortable, even if it's ridiculed by the world. I have to be a person of principle. Okay? Sorry for that interruption. I think it's such an important aspect of what Hanukkah is about. Of standing with confidence for the things that we stand for. Upshuto says in the second paragraph, Upshuto nira, the inyan zeh shetehei ner chanukah mismol mezuzah miyamin, peirusho shiyah misuvav v'mitzvos. Right? That a person should be surrounded by mitzvos. The simple explanation of this idea, mezuzah on one side, menorah on the other side, is that a person should be encompassed by mitzvos. The me'achar shiyesh lo kvar mezuzah miyamino, since I already have a mezuzah on the right-hand side, Adif tvei, it is more desirable shiyad l'kaner chanukah b'smolo, that I should place the menorah on the opposite side. Kedei shal yidei zeh yeh misovei v'mitzvot. I should be surrounded by mitzvot. U'mala zo adifa mimala sadlakas ner chanukah b'yamin. And this is advantageous. This is better than having the menorah and the mezuzah both stacked on the right hand side. And this is what the mefarshim explain. Okay, skipping to the next paragraph. Beis. Amnam midirei Chazal, Maseches Sofrim, we find in one of, what's Maseches Sofrim? Maseches Sofrim is one of the minor tractates. We know in the back of the Gemara, in Maseches Avodah Zarah, in the back there, there's Masechtos Katanos, minor tractates. Actually, Brisos. Right? It's written like just a slew of Brisos. Maseches Sofrim, it tells us something a little bit deeper about the connection between mezuzah and Chanukah. Mavur deyesh b'zeh od omek. There's a deeper understanding here. The mitzvahs mezuzah and mitzvahs ner Chanukah kshurim be'etzem zeh lezeh. There's an inherent connection between the mezuzah and the menorah. V'hilchach kavu lahadlik neras Chanukah b'smol keneged a mezuzah shebiyamin mishum shemashalimim zeh ezeh. Because they somehow complete one another. They form a complete idea. What does it say in Maseches Sofrim that teaches us this? Sha'amru sham ner Chanukah mitzvah l'anichol b'pesach ha'samach l'rishus harabim shetehei mezuzah b'yamin v'ner Chanukah mismol l'kayim ha'shenemar. Here's where it's very interesting. Quotes a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Ma yofis u'ma na'amt. Ma yofis b'mezuzah u'ma na'amt b'chanukah. Highlighting that there's an inherent relationship between the two. There's something, right, that they beautify one another. My yofis uman na'amt. My yofis is the mezuzah, uman na'amt is the menorah. Right, exactly. They both somehow create something of splendor, something beautiful.
He's darshaning that pasuk.
No, that's what it says in Maseches Sofrim. In Maseches Sofrim, it quotes a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, linking these two, that they both somehow express a certain beauty. Klomer shehay yofi shel klal Yisrael. V'hani'imus shal klal Yisrael, the beauty, right, and the pleasantness of the Jewish people, near Rebbe Masha Makayim mitzvahs mezuzah mitzvahs ner Chanukah. Somehow our fulfillment of having mezuzah on my doorpost and a ner Chanukah by my doorway somehow expresses a certain beautiful and pleasant nature of the Jewish people. And the question is, why? Right? Again, the fact that Chazal linked them to one pasuk, he wants to suggest, Rav Yochanan Bolshin says, this is not a superficial connection. They both happen to be mitzvahs by the doorway. There's an inherent connection between the two, and we need to understand. Before we do that, he says in the bottom paragraph, on the bottom of the page, Os Gimel, Od Yesh Lahayir, Al Derech Zeh, Amash Matzinu B'She'iltos. In the writings of the She'iltos, who wrote the She'iltos? Rav Achai Gaon. Right, in the Gaonic period after the Gemara, Rav Achai Gaon wrote the She'iltos. She'iltos was like a volume that goes through the Parsha and talks about different mitzvos, sometimes related to the Parsha, sometimes not really related to the Parsha, right? But it's an important work of, an early work of quasi-halacha. And of course it has a famous commentary on it, by who? By the Netziv. The Netziv wrote a very famous and lengthy commentary on it called the Hemek Shela, on the She'iltos. Okay? Where does the She'iltos discuss Chanukah? In Parshas Vayishlach, I have a sefer at home called Shilos and Tshuvos Ginza Yosef, Rav Yosef HaKohen Schwartz. He was a big rav in Hungary, I believe, and he was the editor of a Torah journal, a very famous European Torah journal before the war, called Vayilaket Yosef, and a big tzaddikim from all across Europe would write into this Torah journal. And he asked in his Shilos and Tshuvos Ginza Yosef, why did the Shiltos put the laws of Chanukah in Parshas Vayishlach? Does Chanukah ever fall out in Vayishlach? Chanukah never. Shabbos Miketz is always Shabbos Chanukah. Sometimes you have depending on how Chanukah falls out, you could have two Shabbosos on Chanukah. But Chanukah never falls out in the week of Vayishlach. So why is Parshas Vayishlach the Parsha that brings us, the Shiltos presents Halachos of Chanukah? I mean, certainly in Chodesh Kislev, right? But you would think you'd wait for a week that actually corresponds to Chanukah. So he gives different answers to the question, right? Bereshis, Noach, Lech Lecha, Vayera, Chayisara, Toldos, Vayetze, Vayishlach. Yishlach, of course, is the eighth parsha, and eight always has a lot to do with Chanukah. He gives other answers to that question, right? But it's an interesting question. Why does the Shiltos put the laws of Chanukah in Parshas Vayishlach? He gives two answers to the question for another time. Okay, but the Shiltos says an interesting thing. It adds to the Gemara. The Gemara told us mezuzah on the right, menorah on the left. Says the She'iltos, Hosafa al Gemara, Uman de Amr Mismol Kasavar, the one who says put the menorah on the left holds, is of the opinion, Ki Heche de Lehevi Mezuzah Miyamin, turn the page, V'ner Chanukah Mismol, and look what he adds. We already said that the Mezuzah on the right and the Ner Chanukah on the left allows us to be surrounded by mitzvos, but he goes a step further. Ubal Habayis Betalis Mitzuyatzas Beneim. And the man who's lighting the menorah is wrapped in a talis. Talis gadol, he's wearing tzitzis, he's wearing a talis katan. The Shilto says, not only do you have a mezuzah on one side, you have a menorah on the other side, you're totally enveloped by your talis, wrapped in mitzvah, surrounded on all sides by mitzvahs. Interesting. The Me'iri, in the next paragraph, he quotes, Meiri, one of the Rishonim, who was only discovered later in time. We didn't have his writings for a long time. But now, Baruch Hashem, we do. He adds in the third line of the next paragraph, he says, not only does the Baal HaBayis have his talis, he says what? Baal HaBayis bitfilav, who talis mitziyatis b'nayim. The Baal HaBayis is wearing tefillin also, right? Why don't we, and he's holding a Sefer Torah, and he has a lulav in his back pocket. You know, like, at what point, right? We get the idea. You're surrounded by mitzvos. Mitzvos on the right, menorah on the left. The Shilto says he's wearing his talis. The Meiri says he's wearing his tefillin. Tefillin at night? What's going on here? The Satmar Rebbe said by the menorah, it's not night, it's day. Again, that's hard to explain in a halachic sense, right? You're surrounded by talis and tefillin and menorah and mezuzah. It's mamish, a potpourri of mitzvos. It's a nice image, be a nice painting. All right, but what's the idea? Okay, so to explain this idea, and again, I know I'm skipping some of the words, but I want to do it for the sake of making sure we can finish the whole essay. We'll go to Os Dalet, right? What's the common denominator of a mezuzah? And I have a menorah, and I have a talis. So he says, to explain all of this, we could say the following. V'nira levar and os dalet. V'nira levar yesod ha-dvarim al-pi darchenu b'mamar makodmim b'inin kabbalas ol machas shamayim b'chanukah. There's a very important theme in Chanukah, and that is kabbalas ol machas shamayim. Kabbalas ol machas shamayim is another way of saying Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Kabbalas ol machas shamayim means accepting the yoke of heaven upon us. Chanukah has a lot to do with that. Deeper Sfarim talk about the connection between the 24 days leading up to Chanukah and how Chanukah starts on the 25th day. They connect it, we're not going to go into this connection now, maybe later in the week. There are 24 letters in Baruch Shem Kavod Machusol the Olam Va'ed, and there are 25 letters in Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So Chanukah, which is deeply connected to the letters Chafei, 25th of Kislev, of Chanu Chafei, right? Somehow connects to Shema because there are 25 letters in the six words of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. 25 letters. So he says, we mentioned this connection between Chanukah as the time of accepting the yoke of heaven upon us in the earlier essays. Dinei Vanu La'el, we said in Maimer Aleph, Divrei Hasaba Mikelm, the Iker Yesod Mitzvah Salakas Ner Chanukah, who Shenizkar Es Hanisim Shenasu Lanu Begiloy Ayin, Begiloy Begaloy Lein Kol, Leman Nekabu Aleinu Ol Machos Shemayim Beratzonu Vesimcha. When we light the menorah and we reflect on the miracles that happened, right, openly, Lein Kol, before all of us to see, it gives us a chance to recommit ourselves with desire and with joy to the service of Hashem. That's what the menorah is supposed to make us feel, proud Jews. We light the menorah and we're celebrating Klal Yisrael's success. Even when our enemies took advantage of us, right? We fought back, we overcame, and it makes us want to be close to Hashem, to accept the yoke of heaven upon us. So with this we can understand a very strong connection between what? Between lighting the menorah and having a mezuzah and wearing tzitzis and adorning your head and your arm with tefillin. The Sefer Achinuch explains to us, Birshorish inyan mitzvah mezuzah. What's the mezuzah about? Mishar sheha mitzvah lios zichron la'adam be'amunas Hashem b'chol eis bo'o le'beis ovetesa. K'mosha kasavti b'inyan ha'tfilin. When I walk into my home, where I walk out of my home, I remind myself that in my home, in the privacy of my home, where no one can see me, I have to be a good Jew. When I'm in the streets and I'm confronting the world, I have to be a good Jew. Just like I said by tefillin. Tefillin is also the constant reminder. In the olden days, people wore tefillin all day. You'd walk around all day in your tefillin. Upeirusho delegabe mitzvah tefillin, kosav achinuch, bezeh alashon. Va'inyin ba'ar b'parshios elu. The reason we have these four passages of the Torah in our tefillin. Yosemi b'shar parshios eshal Torah. More than any other passage of the Torah. Why were these four passages selected to fill our tefillin? Lefishi yesh be'elu kabbalas ol machus shemayim va'achdus Hashem. Because these passages speak of what? Speak of the oneness of God and our acceptance of Hashem. Ve'inyin yitzias Mitzrayim, how Hashem took us out of Egypt, shu machriach emunas chidush ha'olam. It reminds us that God created the world and God is the master of the world. V'ashkachas Hashem betachtonim, and Hashem oversees the world and controls the world. Turn the page. Ve'elohim yisodos das Yehudis. And these are the essential principles of Jewish living. So what the mezuzah represents, the tefillin represent, The common denominator, again, being Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. Go to the second paragraph on page Reitz Sadihei. Uke'ein inyan ze bir achinach. What about tzitzis? Tzitzis is also the same theme. The idea of wearing tzitzis is shoresh ha-mitzvah. The pasuk reveals to us, l'man nizkor kol mitzvos Hashem tamid. My tzitzis remind me of the 613 mitzvos. And I think about the fact that, again, my body is enveloped by mitzvos. My tzitzis, right? The way that Chazal explained, tzitzis is gematria 600, and there's 5 knots and 8 strings, it's 613. Right? But when I look at my tzitzis, it's a reminder that there's a God in heaven. And that's what the tzitzis are meant to do. And ve'ein davar ba'olam yoser tov lizikaron, k'mon nosei chosem adonav kavua b'chsuso. It's like wearing an insignia of the king. The same way an important official wears a pin, right, or wears some type of sign on his garment, indicating his position in the world, so too when a Jew wears his tzitzis. The Chafetz Chaim writes that, right, part of the idea of wearing your tzitzis out is not only a reminder to yourself, but as you walk through the world, and you're wearing the royal garments. You're showing that we're part of the royal family. There's no better way to remind us than to wear the insignia of the king stamped upon us. Asher yechase bo tamid, you're covered in it constantly, ve'ein av alibo alav kol yom, and my eyes and my heart and my mind are upon it all day. When I wear the tzitzis, it's a constant reminder that I'm a servant of God. When I wear his insignia upon my garment, I'm constantly reminded of his commandments. When I see them, okay? So we see a common denominator. Right? We see a common denominator between tzitzis and tefillin and mezuzah. And again, this is all a theme when it comes to the Yom Tov of Chanukah. And Chanukah is a zman where, again, as a Jew is recommitting himself to Torah and mitzvos, and therefore it makes sense that as I'm lighting my menorah, I'm surrounded by those mitzvos, which also are all-encompassing mitzvos. Tefillin, tzitzis, mezuzah, right? Containing the words that, or a message that represents complete service of Hashem. Okay? Let's go to the bottom of the page, Oshei. U'me'acher di'yistodim shel mitzvos elu. So now that we've explained that these mitzvos, mezuzah, tefillin, and tzitzis, heim me'inyan kabbalas ol malchus shemayim, they represent complete commitment to Hashem. Muvan ma'od eichem k'shurim l'mitzvos ter Chanukah. So now we understand very well why, in the context of lighting a menorah, I want to incorporate these mitzvos. I want a mezuzah involved. Mezuzah reminds me that my Jewish home is different, and the way a Jew walks in the street is different. My tzitzis remind me that I'm surrounded by mitzvos at all times, and I'm thinking about them. Ureisamoso is heart them. My tefillin, that my mind has to be connected to Hashem, and my arm, and my heart, also, my actions and my intentions have to be connected to Hashem. So muvan ma'od, he says in the bottom line on page Reish Sadihei. Muvan ma'od eichem kshurim l'mitzvos ner Chanukah. So we understand very, very well the connection between these mitzvos and ner Chanukah. Da'alo ga mitzvos, turn the page please. The whole reason Hashem wants us to light that menorah is again is to what? Like we said, that there should be a joyous acceptance, right, with great desire, the mitzvos of Hashem. Kedivrei Hasaba Mikelm Zatzal. We quoted earlier from the elder of the altar of Kelm. V'nimtza the mitzvos nerchanukum mezuzah utfilin v'tzitzis yisod echod lehem. It's all one common theme. So with this, now we begin to understand what Chazal had in mind. Okay? Going on to Ozavav. Lefiza, muvan omek inyan hakesher, shenemer ba ma'alasim shel Yisrael, b'kia mitzvos ner Chanukah u'mezuzah. Now we understand, Shira Shirim, which is a love poem, right? Shira Shirim. My uncle always likes to say, right, people do a terrible disservice to Shira Shirim if you take it out of its simple translation. Of course, that's an allegorical interpretation. But how could I understand, right? Again, the Rambam that we quoted the other day, right? If you want to understand what it means to love God, the Rambam says you have to know what it means to fall in love with a woman. The way that a man, when he's obsessed with his wife, right? Or his kala, his girlfriend, his wife-to-be, and he can't stop thinking about her. And everything that he does, he's busy thinking about their life together, and thinking about her, and when he wakes up, when he goes to sleep, when he's eating, when he's at work, when he can't take his mind off of her. The Rambam says that's what it means to fall in love with God. So Shira Shirim also, we have to remember that, right, this the simple pshat of the two lovers, right, it's Kodesh Kodashim because it has to be understood carefully. It can obviously be perverted into a secular, God forbid, a secular love song. Right? But the simple pshat, the love that the two lovers in Shir HaShirim have for each other, you have to have that emotional, that raw emotional attachment to then understand how that's applied to mitzvahs. So what does Shir HaShirim say? Ma yafes u'man na'amt. How beautiful, how lovely, how pleasant. What did the Medrash say? What did Mesach HaSofrim say? Chanukah and Mezuzah. So pleasant, so beautiful. What's so pleasant, what's so beautiful? He says in Oz Vav, Lefi zeh, Muvan omek inina kesher, Shenemer b'ma'alosam shal Yisrael b'kiyam mitzvos ner Chanukah Mezuzah. Now we see how the Jewish people become so pleasant and so beautiful, beautified by these two mitzvos. Shal zeh nemer ma'yofes u'ma na'amt, mitzvos ner Chanukah Mezuzah, like we saw in Mesach HaSofrim. Sheshneyem inin echad, u'kshurim zeh lezeh. We understand the inherent connection between mezuzah and a menorah. Shebishneim nechshavim Yisrael yafim v'ne'imim. What makes us beautiful? What makes the Jew beautiful on the world stage? What's our beauty today? Shebehem miskalish makav la'atzma ol machas shemayim. Right. What's beautiful is a Jew who walks this world with a connection to Hashem that we still believe. V'hem avdei Hashem. We're proud. We're proud bearers of a beautiful tradition called Torah. Shezer ikr ma'alasam shel Yisrael. This is the beauty, this is the splendor of the Jewish people. So with this, we can now understand, he says of Yerucham Olshin and Ozayin, the famous words of the Rambam. He quotes in the second line of Ozayin, the words of the Rambam, that mitzvah ner Chanukah is a mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'od. It's a very beloved mitzvah. It's a very cherished mitzvah. The big question where the Rambam got that lashon from. Where did the Rambam... Right? The Rambam doesn't write that anywhere else. The Rambam doesn't say keeping Shabbos is beloved. The Rambam doesn't say shaking a lulav is beloved. The Rambam says in one place that there's one mitzvah that's particularly beloved. Happens to be, I think statistically, the most practiced Jewish practice, religious, very religious, less religious, is Chanukah. And statistically, I think the most practiced Jewish holiday is Chanukah. It's a mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'od. It's very, very special by the Jewish people. Why? D'lecho retzarech bir. Why this mitzvah? All the mitzvahs in the Torah. Chanukah is so beloved. It's so precious. It's so special. What do we love about Chanukah so much? So perhaps he says in the bottom paragraph, Avnam lefi devareinu yesh lefarish. Based on everything we've learned today, we can explain very well. The mikevan shemitzvahs adlakas ner Chanukah hi mitzvah yesodis kol kach. If you understand that when the ner Chanukah is burning, all of the most basic principles of Torah get drawn in. There's a mezuzah involved, tzitzis, tefillin, right? Their Chanukah is symbolic of the strength of the Jewish people to survive galus by clinging to God. V'ikar gadol b'Torah. And the celebration of Chanukah is one of the most essential principles of Torah. Shal yod mekav la'odim al'atzma o'machos shemayim. When you light the menorah, it's like saying Shema. It's a physical manifestation of saying Shema. Let me just explain what I mean by that. My brother always likes to quote the Aruch HaShulchan. How do you say Shema? Well, you can open your mouth and say, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Right? And what do after we say Shema? We say, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso L'Olam Ved. It's not a pasuk, it's a phrase that Yaakov Avinu created. Okay. When else do we say, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso L'Olam Ved? When we put on our tefillin. When we put on our tefillin Shal Rosh, right, after we put it in the proper place, we say, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso L'Olam Ved. Why is that so? There's many explanations in Halacha. The Aruch HaShulchan says, because just like after saying Shema, you say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso L'Olam Ve'ed, so after doing Shema, when you put on your tefillin, you're acting out Shema, right? It's a manifestation of Shema, it's a physical manifestation of Shema. Wearing tefillin is a physical manifestation of wearing Shema, of saying Shema. So once you put on your tefillin, I just did Shema, right? I acted out Shema. So I say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso L'Olam Ve'ed. The menorah is also, so to speak, a physical manifestation. When I place that menorah by my window or by my door, I'm also declaring to the world, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Right? That I still hear, Shema Yisrael. Right? I'm still internalizing that there's a God in this world. And that's a big celebration. That's right? Not only internally. I'm not only saying it to myself. I'm saying it to the world. I'm putting it in the window. I'm putting it by the door, by the entrance to my house. That I'm declaring that I still believe in Hashem. That's an amazing thing. And that's what gives Chanukah a unique chavivus, a unique connection, right, to the Jewish people. It's mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'od. It's extra special to us. Okay, turn the page. Top of Ridge, Resh Tzadi Zayin. Ubevadai zohi mitzvah sa'adam kol yimos hashana. So you'll say, so then what makes What makes Chanukah special? I say Shema every day. Why don't you say that Shema is a very special thing? So he says, certainly, this avoda of declaring God, believing in God, expressing my belief in God is true every day of the year. V'zohi yisod in yonim shel harbe mitzvos. And again, many mitzvos express that. Mezuzah, tzitzis, tefillin, etc. U'beprat mitzvos kriya Shema pa'amayim b'chol yom. And all the more so when I actually say Shema twice a day, morning and evening, that's certainly a declaration. She'in yonu l'kabul av ol machos shemayim. Right? That I'm accepting the yoke of heaven upon me. However, what does Shema stand for? Shin mem ayin. Ol machos shemayim. Shema is Rashi Tevos, Ol Malchus Shemayim. Rav Wolfson says, Shema, Shin Mem Ayin, is the same letters that begin the three words, Ol Malchus Shemayim. That's what Shema is. It's Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim. It's accepting upon myself the privilege of mitzvos. Right? And that's what the Gemara explains. Why do we say Shema before we say V'hafta and V'haya? Because the first thing is, Kadesh Yekabbalah of Ol Malchus Shemayim Tchila. Before I talk about my love of God, before I talk about my performance of mitzvos and reward and punishment, the first thing I say is, I believe. Shema Yisrael. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Right? Who are you talking to? Shema Yisrael, listen up, Jew. Who are you talking to? The Avodas Panim says you're talking to yourself. You're talking to the inner Yisrael within you. You're saying, Yisrael, wake up. Wake up, Jewish person. Right? Feel connected in the world. Okay?
Avodas Panim.
So yes, so he says all the time, we're always, that's Avodas Panim. So we're always saying Shema. And we're always acting Shema, mezuzah, tzitzis, tefillin. However, he says at the end of the paragraph, but v'yemei Chanukah, yitoysef mitzvah salakas neiros Chanukah l'kabel av omach ha-shamayim beratzun uvesimcha. There's a unique expression of joy that a Jew feels when he lights that menorah. Again, it's a certain confidence to say Shema, to put it out there in the world. Persume Nisa. Persume Nisa is defined by the Gemara, not by as long as the Jews are in the street, as long as the Gentiles are in the street. Achetichla regal the Tarmudoi. Tarmudoi, Rashi says, is a non-Jewish nation. Rav Soloveitchik used to speak about that. Right? That Parsumi Nisa is really, of course, it's for us, but it's also for the world. We're displaying to the world. As long as the people of the world are still wandering the streets, yeah, then we're lighting the menorah. So he says in the next paragraph, V'yesh lomar od, Debechanaka nokil yoser l'kabul av omach shemayim. And maybe, yes, every day of the year I say Shema. But it could be that Chanukah is the easiest time for a Jew to really say Shema and to mean it. Ki b'chol yemos hashana, avoda kasha hi lekabel al atzmaol v'shibud. Because all year round it's hard to submit yourself to someone else. It's hard to negate your own desire to God, to give yourself over to Hashem. Why? Machmas gufo hachomri v'gashmias hachushim. My senses, my desires, my physical body. It weighs me down. It gets in the way. However, he says, "Amnam b'yemei Chanukah, kishem mizbonin in b'shas hadlakas neiros b'nisim v'neflaos." But when I stand by that menorah, and I realize that the menorah is an expression of Hashem's love for me, ad hasof, even in the worst of times, they knew that there has to be a pach shemen. Right? It was an amazing, like the Bnei Yoshua says, it was an expression of God's love for the Jewish people. So when I'm standing by that menorah, I can really say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and I can really mean it. And that's why Chanukah again, chafei. Chafei Kislev, 25 letters in the words Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, 25 letters. Chanukah gives me the chance to express it with the greatest enthusiasm. Okay, he concludes the piece in Os Ches by quoting from the founding Rosh Yeshiva of the Lakewood Yeshiva, Rav Aaron Cutler. Mine Maran Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal Bir B'Mishnas Rabbi Aaron. Rav Aaron explained in his writings, Yisod Inyan HaMitzvos. Yeah, I'm going to see where we are. Os Ches. Middle of page Reish Sadi Zayin. Rav Aaron Cutler explained, Yisod inyan ha-mitzvos shenitnu lezecher ha-nisim v'neflaos sh'asal ha-no kadosh baruch. What's the idea? What stands behind this concept of recalling miracles that God did for us? V'opi ma-sha-amr David HaMelech. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Zecher asa l'niflaosav chanun v'rachum Hashem. Zecher asa l'niflaosav chanun v'rachum Hashem. What does it mean? V'zeh l'shono. Milvad haniflos atzmam. In addition to just recalling the miracles themselves, od asa zecher haniflos of. To recall the miracles, to remember the miracles. What does it mean to remember them? Hainu kol hamitzvos hakshuros l'niflos Hashem yisbach. To recall the miracles by performing mitzvos that are connected to those miracles. Ki chanun v'rachum Hashem. V'zehu mitzad rachum avalinu. Hashem's rachmanis. You know what the Sfas Emes says about Chanukah and Purim? It's beautiful. Fasema says, as time went on, the Jewish people couldn't survive with just Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkot. It wasn't enough.
They couldn't do it.
What did I?
They couldn't divorce the Shabbos.
That what?
You couldn't do the full mitzvahs.
Right, you couldn't even do those full mitzvahs, right? The two mitzvahs that you could still do fully is Chanukah and Purim. We can't do some of the mitzvahs, right? The holidays that Yom Kippur is a gewaldic day, but we don't have a Kohen Gadol going into the Beis Hamikdash. On Pesach, we're not bringing a carbon Pesach.
Chanukah and Purim were also instituted by us.
Okay, but it was instituted by Chazal and agreed upon by heavens, right, to give us the chizuk that we need to make it to the end. Right, we're desperate. We needed more vitamins. We needed better medicine. So Hashem gave us more medicine. Hashem gave us Chanukah and Purim to give us that extra boost. Again, to give us the strength that we need to make it to the finish line. Chanukah and Purim are the last two mitzvos derabbanon, the last two holidays instituted.
Maybe that's also why Dafka, Chanukah, and Purim are the two holidays that are the most kept.
Right. We feel a strong connection to it because it was created for us. It was created in response to our struggles, to our lack of ability to feel connected to God. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to us through Chanukah and Purim. Chazal were koveyed as Yom Tovim to give us that strength. So again, this is the Rachmanis of Hashem. That we too, right, that even in the later generations, again, Chanukah is the end, the midway point of the Second Temple period. The fact that God was still revealing Himself so that we should also maintain a connection to Him is a remarkable thing. To fight back against the natural flow of life. When you look at life, there's so many wondrous things in the world. I was listening to a shiur from Rav Wolfson this morning, actually. He was just describing the most simple, simple terms. The wonders of the human body. The wonders of the universe. Okay? And all the classic, you know, the classic things. But they're so classic and so obvious that we have to just take them to heart. Right? The mashal of the Chovas HaLevavos. If someone spilled a jar of ink and it made a magnificent painting, would anyone believe that that could happen naturally? And yet the eye, right, the human eye, and the parts of the eye, right, even... blanking on his name. Who's the guy who started evolution?
Darwin.
Yeah, Darwin. Even Darwin himself wrote in a letter. He wrote a letter to a contemporary named Asa Gray. ASA was his name, Asa Gray. And he wrote to Asa Gray and he said, when I think about the human eye, I shudder. He says, despite all my theories of evolution, when I think about the wonders of the human eye, it's the most remarkable camera. What Wilson was describing, right? When you get a piece of dirt in your eye, you don't have to... He said, you don't have to take, what's it called, like spray and, you know, clean your eye out, right? It automatically produces tears, and there's a built-in cleansing system, right? And there's reflexes. If someone tries to punch you in the face, your eyes shut, and your arm automatically blocks. Right? We don't have to do any of these things. These are all wonders that are programmed into our body. And again, it all declares the proof of Hashem in the world. But unfortunately, we get used to it.
Wow. He says there's millions of things that have to occur for you to have sight.
Right.
And that can't just be a coincidence, right, of random things that get together.
No camera in the world comes close. Yeah. Yeah. Now, even though the greatest, you know, scientists and philosophers were trying to come up with a system to prove, you know, a world outside of God, the human eye was always the thing that came back to. And the Chazon Ish begins his Emunah Bitachon. He starts off by describing the human eye. It's so remarkable, the wisdom of the eye. The way that the eye absorbs a picture, right, and then the optic nerve transmits it to the brain and reverses it, your eye sees things upside down. The fact that we see each other right side up is itself a wonder. It's wonders upon wonders upon wonders. Trillions of optic, you know, the nerve and the receptors. Yeah.
The basic thesis here.
Yeah.
Connection between Zuzza and Menorah.
Uh-huh.
Is that a human construct? Because the Zuzza obviously was...
Right.
Much later.
Right.
Was God making that connection?
Right. That's a good question. That's a good question. I mean, was it the sages who said put the menorah on the left hand side, right, and surround yourself with all these mitzvahs? It's a good question. It sounds somewhat like a human construct, but again, the message of it is still profound, right? That the understanding of what Chanukah was, I guess, at the time of the salvation, was no less significant than what a mezuzah represents, or what tefillin represents, or what tzitzis represents. So I guess we were trying to remind ourselves that this little light carries with it a very big message. But yeah, that's always a good question when you know, when we make certain connections, right? Should we assume that's our man-made, albeit true, connection, or is that, assumed to be God's original intent? Right. And it's a mitzvah d'rabbanan. This is no question. It's a man-made mitzvah. It's a good question. Yes.
I mean, technically, the whole Gemara is quote unquote man-made, right? Rav Yossi says or not, and says. If you believe that Moshe wrote the Torah, then even that's man-made.
Right.
I mean, don't we have the?
Right, you're saying the principles by which we expound Torah
Alpeh. Right. And their Megala.
No, right. But we make Hashem's a difference between Dorais and Darabanan. Like there is.
Yeah, there are right. There is Dorais, so there is Darabanan. There are. But I think we also assume that the rabbinic, the Torah, which tells us to listen to the rabbis, we assume that there's a certain divine guidance that the rabbis have in deciding what to, right? The question of why Hanukkah as opposed to other great miracles that we've experienced in history. Right? Why do we have a zecher for the Anani HaKavod? We sit in a hut on Sukkot to remember the clouds of glory, but we don't have a zecher for the Manor of the Bear. How do we decide which miracles become part of our lives?
On Shabbos for the
maybe. Yeah, there's other things that hint to it. But the holiday of Sukkot is a celebration of the Anani HaKavod, at least according to one opinion. So what happened? Right? So how do we decide which battles in history become holidays and which successes and miracles and battles, you know, are just a part of our story? It's a good question. So I think we assume that since the principles that the rabbis were given to expound the Torah, and the Torah commands us in Parsha Shoftim to listen to the rabbis, so I guess in some way God signs off on everything that the rabbis, you know, came to a decision on. But it's a good question. It's an interesting question to think about. All right, so let's finish the piece. So to push back, he says, against the natural flow of life, he says three lines from the end of that middle paragraph in Os Ches. Ach mikol makom yesh makom litos va'atos b'zeh gedolah. Because of the natural flow of things, it's easy for a person, again, to attribute things to the natural order of things. And to forget what Hashem has done for us. He's saying that when God commands us to remember the good things He did for us, it's not because God is obsessed with getting credit for things. Hashem says, if you remember my nisim v'niflaos, that's good for you. Because by remembering what I did for you, you'll remember me. And you remember my hand in your life. And you'll be able to see that not only in the time of the, you know, Second Temple, you'll be able to see it in your life in 2017. You'll be able to feel and to believe that God is still ever present in your life. Well, the feed of Arenu Haniskar Leal, so based on what we've explained, Misabar Oun Nekuda Binyan Zeh, we take away one more point. Shetochan Inyan HaZecher, She'asa Kadosh Baruch Hu L'Niflaosav, B'mitzvos Hadlakas Ner Chanukah. Right? That, again, through the establishment of the mitzvah of Hadlakas Ner Chanukah, which is an expression of remembering the kindness and the miracles that He did for us, He L'Tachlis HaZeh, it achieves the same purpose we've been describing. That again, when I reflect on the mitzvah, when I reflect on the miracles, it makes me want to serve Hashem, and it makes me want to say Shema Yisrael and to be a proud Jew, to feel that God is in my corner and God is on my side, and He's providing for us throughout history. But again, this was the last miracle, so it's unique. It's extra chaviv. It's very special to us. Okay, Ad Kan the words of Rabbi Yerucham Olshan, the great Rosh Hashiva of Lakewood Yeshiva. It's beautiful essays.